This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Today on FCA Answers, can big data and intelligence just get along? Conversation starts right now. I'm Max Kakis with FCA International. Welcome to FCA Answers. Joining us in the studio today, Lewis Shepard, the director of the Microsoft Institute here in Washington, D.C., and Mark Lowenthal, the president of the Intelligence and Security Academy in Reston, Virginia. Gentlemen, it's a pleasure to welcome you to the studios here at Federal News Radio. We have worked many other times with the FCA Intelligence Committee on several of these programs, and it's just really neat to finally get to meet you in person, and we're talking to you on the radio. Thank you for coming in today.
Thank you, Max.
I should tell the audience that this program is actually the third act of two acts that have already happened. One in the pages of Signal magazine, where they brought you in for a point and counterpoint commentary on the efficacy of big data in the IC. And then the folks at Signal decided, well, let's see what they can do when they're, you know, face to face. And so there is a Skype interview where you both go toe-to-toe on the issue of big data and the IC. So now I want to...
So let's try again.
Third time's the charm, man.
That's right. Third time's the charm. All right. Based on seeing the Skype interview, I want to start out by asking you something that that our colleague Bob Gurley pointed out. He wanted a succinct definition from both of you, as long as we're arguing. At least let's argue about the same thing, I think was his point. What's your definition of big data in the context of the work of the intelligence community? And Mark, I want to give you the first shot here.
That's a really terrific place to start, because I think it's important to distinguish between data, which the intelligence community has always used and needs, and this emphasis on big data, which appears to be working with large structured and unstructured databases to sort of parse and reparse the data in the hope that something interesting will pull out of it. And so it's a major emphasis on larger and larger data sets.
Mm-hmm. All right. And Lewis, tell me how you define big data.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily dispute what Mark just said. In fact, I'd note that it's consonant with what Bob Gurley in his Signal comments actually pointed to, which was the Wikipedia definition, which I think is an acceptable one. It's to quote, it's a collection of data sets so large and complex that they become difficult to process using on-hand database management tools or traditional data processing applications. I think that's a fair, commonly acceptable definition.
Mm-hmm. Now, given that, I had the opportunity to interview a gentleman that both of you know, Al Tarasic, who is the Chief Information Officer for the ODNI, the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. And last year, when we talked, he discussed the way that he was trying to revamp the computing architecture in the IC. And one of the priorities he said is being able to deal with big data. And I'm kind of wondering, from you both, in light of Mr. Tarasic's decision to make this a priority, do they have the tools that they need to do the job, or are they fishing in shallow waters here?
Well, I don't think they do have the tools to do the job, mm-hmm. To be honest. Even with that bare bones definition of what big data is, collections too large to be used simply with on-hand database management tools, mm-hmm. And analytic tools. We'd have to say that the community's agencies today, they really are struggling. And so, no. Now, to point that out is not to say that there's an equivalent to a missile gap. that our adversaries have a big right. data edge on U.S. intelligence agencies. Nothing of the sort, if anything. Mm-hmm. Our intelligence agencies, for the last 50 years and today, have bested the world in the ability to collect and process and make sense of large data. But where the community is struggling is relative to the commercial world. And that's important because what the Altoracics and the CIOs of and the analytic heads of the other agencies in the community, what they actually need to do to respond to national leadership is to make sense of the vastly growing amounts of data that our modern world produces. We can't simply put blinders on and ignore the fact that mm-hmm. All of the signal traces that individuals, groups, corporations, non-state actors, state actors, and in fact nation states themselves, all of the traces of their activities, their intentions, their past actions, and the intentions that can be derived from those, all of those actually exist in digital form today, and the amount of data being produced that needs to be understood is only growing. So that's the community's challenge.
Right. Mark, in the minute we have left before we go to our first break, I want to ask you, what do you think about what Lewis has just defined or shaped in, about big data in the IC?
I disagree that all the digital data that exists out there is of any utility to anybody except the person sending the email or the photo. This is the Eric Schmidt counting rule, and it's nonsensical. The fact that Al Taurasik is the person advocating big data is telling. These are CIOs and IT specialists. These are the big data advocates, not the analysts, not the analytical managers. These are IT people trying to justify who they are and what they do, and they have a solution in search of a problem, and that's the problem.
Still to come, what exactly is new about big data? You're listening to FCA Answers on Federal News Radio.
Cybersecurity professionals, are you thinking about going back to school? Do you need to update your training or certifications? FCA offers multiple educational benefits for its members. As an FCA member, you may qualify for a 25% discount on out-of-state tuition for most University of Maryland University College undergraduate and graduate programs. Members can also take advantage of Carnegie Mellon Software Engineering Institute's Step Forward training. Gain relevant knowledge, skills, and experience in a continuous cycle of professional development. The one-year subscription includes unlimited individual, self-paced access to 36 cybersecurity courses. Additional partners include University of Maryland Engineering Programs, CypherPath, SANS On-Demand Training, ITpreneurs, and the Intelligence and Security Academy. Learn more about AFSEA's educational offerings at afsea.org/membership. That's afsea.org/membership.
Welcome back to FCA Answers on Federal News Radio. Our guests today are Mark Lowenthal, the president of the Intelligence and Security Academy in Reston, Virginia, and Lewis Shepard, general manager of the Microsoft Institute here in Washington, D.C. Now, Lewis, I want to bounce off of something that Mark said just before the break, and that is he said that it's mostly CIOs and IT folks who are being the advocates for big data and for dealing with all these big, huge data sets that are out there where, in theory, if everything is correct, there's actionable information, there's timely information that can be gleaned from this that can be used by an analyst. And your colleague over here doesn't necessarily think that's the case. What do you say to that?
Well, unfortunately, what we've seen in the last 10 years in many anecdotal cases, ones that I know, and in aggregate with some statistics that unfortunately the community's been scratching its head over, is the difficulty in recruiting bright, young scholars, researchers, analysts who, rather than go into intelligence community agencies, are actually looking for employment in the commercial world. Much friendlier to use of advanced analytic tools, advanced data handling software. And that's because they've seen, unfortunately, I know many cases of this personally, they've seen confronted and thrown their hands up in the face of the lack of modern software, hardware, and information technology approaches in the community's agencies. Okay, it's not that we. It's not that we've. It's absolutely true.
No, the recruiting part is untrue.
Okay.
I mean, the number, if you they track their applications like a stock commodity.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
And one of the things that's fascinating, so this is what I used to be responsible for, is even when the community runs into trouble, the numbers don't get down. We have this lovely generation of people who were galvanized by 9/11 and who want to go serve, and they are very bright.
Unfortunately,
and
that effect, now, that halo effect has really ended.
But so now, Lewis is right. When they get into the community and they see the desktop they're giving, they usually say, okay, that was really funny. Now can I see the right one? And so there is this has to do with government procurement.
Sure.
This has nothing to do with big data.
No, it's very related.
It has nothing. Related. It has to do with the fact that the government is really bad at buying stuff. And one of the things they're really, really bad at buying is IT. So that's why the IT people have to advocate for big data, which they need a cause.
No, that's an argument for improving the attitude, I think, of agency leadership, of congressional minders, of the community, in what they allow the community to do, because there really are some corners of the community and of the defense world which actually do a very good job of slipstreaming the procurement process. They get cutting-edge technology for their users, and the users are happy to see it. Let's be honest. Let's be critical of ourselves in the community for what has happened over the last 20 years. The community missed two major waves of technology advance, of revolution in technology, that have completely changed the outside world and the world abroad, including our adversaries. And those were the internet, and in particular, the use of the World Wide Web. The community completely missed that. And secondly, the mobile revolution. The community also has completely missed that, and we're paying the price in the lack of an ability for a dedicated workforce to take advantage of technologies to make sense of the growing volumes of data that are produced by the outside world that we're asking the community and its analysts to make sense of. We're demanding this of them. Our leadership is, rightly, and we're not giving them the tools to make that a responsible directive.
Mark, what do you say to Lewis when he says that it's mostly a matter of this stuff is out there? I mean, this data is out there. There are young people who are coming up through Al Tarasic's various shops that he oversees, who know how to deal with this. They learn about this in school, clearly.
They definitely come into the community, and they are somewhat taken aback by the fact that, despite what they've seen in the movies, mm-hmm. when it comes to IT, the community is not on the cutting edge. And mm-hmm. that is true, but that has nothing to do with this overemphasis on the utility of big data. You have two separate issues here. The ability of the community to stay abreast of a wave that moves faster than it can.
Right.
That's the technology thing Lewis is talking about. And the other issue is, are we spending too much time investing too many resources on the hope, and hope is not a strategy, on the hope that somewhere in this huge pile of big data, there'll be the one or two things that will change the world. And that's where we fall into trouble.
But the question, I guess the question begs itself, if you're taking in all of this information, and I've also done stories about all of these new drones that are out there that are sucking up information mm-hmm. every time they fly over Afghanistan.
36 hours of tape takes 36 hours to watch.
It's, right.
In fact, the guys who have to watch it, you know what they call it? Predaporn. Because it has the same numbing effect as the other stuff.
Right.
But yes, we can point to places where we've always collected mm-hmm. more than we could possibly process. And actually, there's a bunch of interesting tools that help you go through a 32-hour tape of Predator, where you can isolate objects and you can fast forward and things like that. All of that, nobody's arguing that data are not important and that collection tools are not important. But is this chimerical search for the big data answer important? And that's where I think we run into trouble. It's IT people justifying IT.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to come back to that in just a few moments here in our third segment of the program. Still to come is Big Data the Right Tool for the Right Job? You're listening to FCA Answers on Federal News Radio.
Cybersecurity professionals, are you thinking about going back to school? Do you need to update your training or certifications? AFSEA offers multiple educational benefits for its members. As an AFSEA member, you may qualify for a 25% discount on out-of-state tuition for most University of Maryland University College undergraduate and graduate programs. Members can also take advantage of Carnegie Mellon Software Engineering Institute's Step Forward training. Gain relevant knowledge, skills, and experience in a continuous cycle of professional development. The one-year subscription includes unlimited individual, self-paced access to 36 cybersecurity courses. Additional partners include University of Maryland Engineering Programs, CypherPath, SANS On-Demand Training, ITpreneurs, and the Intelligence and Security Academy. Learn more about AFSEA's educational offerings at afsea.org/membership. That's afsea.org/membership.
Welcome back to AFSEA Answers on Federal News Radio. Our guests today are Louis Shepard, the director of the Microsoft Institute here in Washington, and Mark Lowenthal, the president and CEO of the Intelligence and Security Academy in Reston, Virginia. Louis, I'm going to start with you in this segment again and ask you about Mark's points.
They're nonsense, but yeah.
Thank you for that.
He calls it this chimeral search through the pile of big data. And some have even, I even had Al Tarasic admit that going through piles and piles and piles of big data is equivalent to the needle in the haystack search. And yet, in Signal magazine, you made the point that going back to the 1940s and World War II, a lot of what the intelligence community deals with what the military deals with, has to do with big data. I mean, the data sets of information have just been getting bigger and bigger over the years.
I agree, Max. Let's stipulate that the phrase big data has become something of a buzzword, particularly in and around beltway circles of IT systems integrators who are trying to perhaps relabel existing products.
Welcome to the town for big
there
for
you
buzzwords.
Go. Let's strip off the word big for a second and just
that's an important distinguishment.
And just do a thought experiment here.
Oh, a Gedanken experiment.
Is there anything in our current discussion that could not have been said about radar, about SIGINT collection processing and analysis? And that actually was said about those innovations and those audacious attempts to collect, harness, analyze, and draw value from, analytic value from, ever larger collections of data, data produced by the outside world. That's the charge to the intelligence community, its leadership, its analysts, is to collect and make sense of as much data as the outside world produces draw intelligence and information out of that data.
However, to manage the community is to choose. The community knows, the community has always known, they are not omnivorous, they're not going to collect everything, not going to see everything, and they have to make choices. Mm-hmm. And you have to choose. I'm going to look at this, I'm not going to look at this. I'm going to process this image, I'm not going to process that image. And what the big data advocates are saying is, oh no, you can suck it all in, and you can process it all and get an answer. And that's where we lose track. Look, let's be serious. IT is electronic plumbing. It's a way of moving data from point A to point B. Mm-hmm. And so we have this fascinating moment where the plumbers are in charge of the analysis. That has turned the world upside down and on its head. Nobody's arguing that data are not important. But you always have to make choices. And to sell the idea that you can take it all in and get valuable answers out of it is misleading at best, and it's mm-hmm. self-justifying.
Well, I think politically you're going to have a difficult time convincing the citizenry of the United States that there's some magical, definable line beyond which our intelligence community should not cross, leaving aside issues of privacy and regulatory legal processes, that there's some line at which our intelligence community should actually say, you know what, we're going to choose not to collect.
But
on
we do that every, you and I both know, having been in the community, we do that every day. We choose, we're going to emphasize this country over that country, or this actor over that actor.
That's true, but when we do that, we therefore try to find out as much as possible about those identified priority targets.
We don't work it backwards
from, well, how much data should we be collecting?
Yes, you
let's
do.
Let's define
every time you build a satellite, you make that decision.
And do we, we work only to the degree that we can afford, absolutely. Yes. But that's really the only definable limit.
A lot of the really key questions that, and you know this and I know this, when you're with a senior policymaker and he or she turns to you and says, okay, that's really interesting. What's the guy's intentions? There's no amount of data in the world that's going to tell you, is Rouhani sincere or not? What is Kim Jong-un really doing? Those are not data questions.
Oh, the second analysts
get to analyze
the first one,
whether
you're right.
or not there's data.
The first question, you're right. The second one, on what's he really doing, that's a data question.
No,
and those,
not
oh,
necessarily.
Absolutely. Those not are necessarily. The those are the questions.
Intentions
that
are not data.
All right. Well, I'm gonna interject something here
facts
because
are facts.
Once again, I'm going back to the question that Al Tarasic from the IC said to me, and he sees it as a software or an application question. When dealing with big data, it's a matter of tagging. He thinks that you can that success can be found in being able to do timely tagging using XML or using extensions of XML so that data sets can be parsed and so that the information can be delivered on a timely basis to the people who need to see it.
Well, admittedly, we're nowhere close to some sort of semantic web universe in which we can have magically smart data tagged appropriately or even automatically, where the right data pop up out of mountains of data. We need humans. We need bright people, data analysts, people who understand the information in a particular domain or across multiple domains and can make sense of patterns and trends and can be assisted by machine learning algorithms. No one expected 25 years ago that we would all become such adherents, such fans of something as lowly as a search engine. Search engines were invented in the 60s, but they actually became vastly more popular when all of the world's information, from a Google or Bing standpoint, all of the world's information began to be indexable. Mm-hmm. And once you decided, well, I would like an easier way of finding out what time a movie is playing or what's the best route to get to my mother's house for Thanksgiving, you wind up using a search engine and the data that's crawled and indexed across vast collections of data throughout the internet. That's of real human value to individuals. That's value about what is happening, about an accurate
Absolutely.
Rendition
but
of the world.
Al can't get there from here, like Lewis said. Oh. The problem is, he has no means, he has no capability, and there's not enough money in the intelligence budget for him to achieve his goal of doing all the tagging he says is necessary. And that's why I think we should scale back the rhetoric.
We can quibble about means, admittedly.
We should scale back.
We're going to have to.
You and I both know that's the right. Intel budget's going down.
Yeah.
So we should scale back the rhetoric and bring it into something that's deliverable. Jim Clapper said a couple of years ago, and the DNI said in public, he could save about $2.5 billion out of his budget from legacy, old, duplicative, redundant IT that the community has bought over the years. Now we're going to buy more of it in the search for this holy grail. And I just think in an age of declining budgets, that is a huge, huge fiscal mistake.
Well, gentlemen, on that note, I want to thank you both for enlightening me and for joining us today for this discussion. I have a very good feeling that this is not over by any stretch of the imagination. I want to thank our guests, Mark Lowenthal, the president of the Intelligence and Security Academy in Reston, Virginia, and Lewis Shepard, the director of the Microsoft Institute here in Washington, D.C. Our special thanks to the FCA Intelligence Committee for production help with today's show. Got a question about what we've discussed today? Got an answer? The conversation continues on our blog at federalnewsradio.com. Search FCA. That's AFCEA. That's where you can also download this program and our previous shows for listening on your schedule. This program is a production of FCEA International, which is solely responsible for its content. On the web at FCEA.org. I'm Max Kakis. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time for FCEA Answers on Federal News Radio.